Hello, everybody, and welcome to Buddhas and Butterflies. We are diving into transformation of fear into its healthy role, practical action, and we're underneath a whole new context. So for the next 8 sessions, we're diving into houses 5 and 6. I'm going to talk very briefly about houses 5 and 6, knowing that we're going to have a lot more time to get to know them in the coming sessions, experientially. And I'll dive in always to little bits of theory here and there along the way. And our theme, again, just I'm reminding myself mostly as I say this, is that we're flowing through the houses. So we'll be also interjecting a fair amount of circulation and flow components amongst all of that too. So as we talk about houses 5 and 6, we head to the fire element and we head to the first 2 houses in the social realm. So the first 4 houses where we've been for the last 4 months have been in the personal realm. This is now considering that the individual has formed enough within their own being, and now they're available to head into seeing how it is they interact with the social realm. And they begin to become a little even more savvy about their emotional response, and their emotional body, and their emotional self, and how that interacts and relates with other people in their environment. So it's a really interesting time frame as we head in here. House 5 is centered around the organ and the meridian of the heart. And the heart has a lot of jobs. It's like the juggernaut of the chakras. In addition to having its own jobs, it balances all of the chakras below with all the chakras up above. And it works with a point of balance amongst it all, creating harmony. Creating a sense as well of being able to do that by knowing yourself as your own central authority and being your own sense of self internally inside of yourself. It's also correlated to this 5th house with the house of creativity, of pleasure, of play. And the creative element works with the realm of our sexual energy. So if you're working through any layers of sexual sort of intrigues and maybe you're reconciling some pieces that have happened in that realm for you, whether you're just exploring a new realm of potential self within the sexual domain, the creative element is what's at play here. So this is also our vitality, it's our animating force, it's what brings us alive, it is the fullest expression of our being, which makes sense because the planetary energy that hangs out here in the 5th house is that of the sun, and the sun is about the fullest expression of our life force potential. It is very much about shining brightly. So much like Leo, which is this house in astrology, that's the sign that goes with it. The creative, commanding, pleasure-seeking is meant to be at the center of your being. Leo is the lion, and lions hang out in a pride. So there's actually meant to be a sense of like pride that goes with this expression of yourself, yeah? So those are my correlations on House 5. And I'm going to dive in now just a little bit into House 6 as well. And House 6 is the house that's associated with the small intestine. So now that we have fully expressed our potentiality, we're coming into ways to do that with even greater awareness and discernment, using our intellect as a bit of a guide to support that. Now, it's meant to be the house that uses the intellect to serve our health. We're meant to use this full expression of ourself to be in service to the healing of our body, to help us to practically reassess what's actually not working well, to make decisions from that point of view around our health, not from listening to anybody else's guidance or thoughts, and the world is full of that, but rather finding our own internal guidance for what feels right for us based on our internal knowing. And half of the battle of healing might just be centering people, if not the full battle of healing, in their own central authority for them to become reunited with that. My running tagline, if you've taken anything in body talk with me for years, has been, you are your own inner expert. Nobody else is your own inner expert. So we invite you to listen to you. And the 6th house is very much about doing that with curiosity. Mercury is the planetary energy here. So it helps to have curiosity in a way that lands with communication that gets to be heard and gets to be seen from a left brain way that just feels kind of logical to you. The flip side of that is that there can be misinterpretations along the way, And mostly that's because we're so conditioned to listen to other people's ideas, thoughts, values, how it should be, rather than listening to our own guidance. We're often very much told what should happen here versus finding the answers for ourselves. So sixth house is about reclaiming your own capacity to know your own path in one way of thinking about this. It's very practical. It's very modest, so it doesn't actually need to turn into, well, I'm going to listen to my truth, kind of a verbalization. It's more of a quiet knowingness that doesn't actually need to be defended to anybody. And there's just an awareness of what that is for you. It's a very quiet house and a very practical house. It's not a very showy-offy house. That's house five. House five is very much like Leo. It's like confidence for days, based on no real reason to have that. And then the sixth house brings in like the very quiet reason, and not knowing, or pardon me, the knowing that you don't actually need to defend that to another being. Okay. The small intestine and its meridian that hangs out here is the very first place where we can actually begin to absorb that all as nourishment for your being, nourishment for you. Nourishment for your awareness. So we're beginning to be centered in our own being, despite other people and the pressure to maybe think or act differently around us. Okay. I'm gonna dive in. That might have taken a little bit longer than I thought. I always love this area of talking about it too, so I might get carried away on occasion here. Okay. I'm wondering if you're open to switching gears. I'm going to invite you to grab a quiet, cozy place where you can either sit or lay and be undisturbed for your session. And beginning here to connect to your breath. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it, to drink it in. Let yourself really steepen it. And amongst that, I'm going to offer these words. Actually, just before I do that, I'm going to invite you to once again do that, but this time really on purpose. And I'm going to invite you to scan your environment, scanning your outer environment or your inner environment, your choice. And as you scan your environment, the invitation is to just drink in all the things that feel easeful, beautiful, pleasant, or potentially just neutral to be with. Let your gaze go for a wander here. Almost like you've never once looked at this space before, like it's for the very first time. Drink it in. And then ultimately, let your gaze land on one thing in particular. notice where it lands, what it lands on. Noticing what you appreciate the most about that, naming just a few qualities. And let yourself really savor this here. Let yourself really savor. Appreciate, drink in, marinate. Let those qualities rumble through you. Let yourself bathe in them. And as you continue to marinate them, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you for being here exactly as you are. May the session, this journey, be of availability, of service, and of deep nourishment to not just you, but to the ancestors that made you, to the family that made them, and to the lineage that held it all. Thank you so deeply for the sweet moments of connection and all that's gone into it. And we ask that somehow the service be in ways that we may never even know of service to the greater whole. Thank you to the earth for nourishing us, the fire for expanding us just to the realm of the edge of the unseen. Thank you, the sky above giving us space to soar, to rise, to greet that. And to the water for flowing, for connecting our emotions, our consciousness. Om, Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. And calling to mind once again your intentions for today's unfolding. I'm going to invite you to imagine them as if they're like here and now. How might that feel for your system? Literally get in touch, feel it down to the very marrow of your bones and your body. How does it feel? Check it out. Get really curious here. Spark it as if it was happening here and alive. And then I'm going to invite you to listen to the session from the standpoint of curiosity. How does it meet your intention? Excuse me. And that may not be apparent in the middle of the session. It may unfold more so after the session. I'm going to invite you to stay curious with it all, seeing where it meets you, how it's of service for you, what it can offer your awareness. The first thing that's coming up is knowing that we are in the houses that are both related to the element of fire, and fire is very much about expansion to just beyond our very edge, to the realm of that which is the unknown, the unseen, the ineffable, the mysterious. There can be a fear of that not knowing, the fear of what's beyond, what lies beyond our known awareness. As a fear of the mystery, the fear of not knowing. And it's all being summed up as the fear of expansion. So we often crave, like we just want to move beyond whatever this limitation is. We often want to just expand. And if we're really slowing down that process to recognize what's involved in that, we need to traverse certain layers of fear. This is akin to heading into a forest without knowing what's inside that forest. And the forest is often a place where we can find that which is nourishing us, that which we can like devour and feed ourselves with and expand us with. However, sometimes the forest comes, often, always, maybe, at the risk of being devoured. What will we lose in that process? What will die away from our being, if this is a metaphor? And I think of these realms of myth, of poetry, as just that, it's a metaphor. So what is it you will lose in this forest? What is it that will be devoured as you find that which you can also devour, that you can also use to expand? What's the cost, the consequence of this journey? There always is one. And it's really natural to feel protective about that. It's really natural to have, those things that pop up and go, but if I do this, and then that might happen, so I don't know if I want to take that risk anymore. Yeah. And as we become mindful about that cost of expansion, that fear, that layer of that protection becomes a little bit more apparent in you. And you might have a sense of what that feels like in your body right now. It's hanging out around the heart space, inside of every one of the four ventricles. And there's just this sense of bracing, of guarding. It's actually a sense of, I don't want to die here, which is a natural self-preservation instinct. And amongst that, within that, there's also somehow intertwined with it the sense of, I'm not worthy enough to get what I need. I'm not worthy enough to receive that nourishment, that what's on the other side of that protection, which is why the protection is there. The protection that says, death could be really scary, is also underneath that saying, I'll keep the part of you that doesn't feel worthy enough to receive really safe here. I'll keep you really, really safe here. And that sense of I will keep you safe, however, is coming at the cost of tremendous sadness. There's enough of you that says, I'm done being not worthy. There's enough of you available that says, I'm done not being receiving. I'm done not receiving that which I know is mine to be nourished by. I'm done not expanding. There's actually sadness about this fear. We're bringing in circulation of blood, of nerve, of lymph, all the way through the inner chambers of the hearts, just on the inside of them, working with circulation of blood that brings our passion, nerve, our communication, and lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. And as it does so, I see just a bit of cracking through the layers that we're protecting here. In a way that the protector parts of you begin to say, like, hey, what if I actually don't have to do this job anymore? What would I actually be willing to do with my time? What would I actually really want to be doing instead of this? And then we're bringing in hydration, helping the cells to drink in water and joy, and releasing the impurities that no longer need to be here. And as we do that, the cells become more interested, more curious about things that might bring service to the system through the emotional landscape of joy versus sadness. And as we work with that, we know in our own realms of body talk in Chinese medicine that joy and sadness often counterbalance one another. And here we're working with that particular counterbalance. And as the system begins to step into the willingness, the desire, the ache for joy, I begin to see like little seedlings that are blossoming, new sprouts beginning to peek through the cracks, almost as if this was like frozen earth, and now you're experiencing your own internal spring inside every one of your heart spaces. The caverns of your heart begin to blossom alight with the possibility of what actually could be here. And there is this spirit of adventure awaiting, this calling to stepping into. I have no idea what's here. And I'm willing to face it. And we're running that as a permission. I'm willing to face what's here. And it's said that the story of the heart is worn not on one's sleeve, but actually on one's face from a Chinese medicine perspective. So this expression of you and your heart being alive on your face, what's happening in your face is akin to what's actually going on within your heart. It's not so much about like, are you pretty, are you not pretty? It's more so about the aliveness, the quality of light that emanates through the being of you. However, your concerns about body image may play a factor into that. For many of us, in particular the feminine forms, there is this equation between prettiness, between body image being a certain way and being able to survive. So there's a sense of not just am I worthy enough to receive, there's a sense of am I pretty enough to receive? Why would anybody give me what I need if I wasn't pretty enough to quote unquote deserve it or to earn it? So we have this confusion that beauty, being skin deep, is what is seen versus the quality of light, the quality of expression of aliveness being your true beauty. And the concern about that other type of beauty usually blocks the light. Blocks the truest expression of your aliveness, regardless of whatever the physical appearance is. There's a quality of how alive is your heart and how willing are you to express you through you. And here we're unhooking the belief system that many of us may have grown up with, especially if you were born in a religious way. That pride goeth before the fall. That pride goeth before the fall. And that if you were to even take pride in your physical beauty that you even may not feel like you have, there would be a sense of downfall. So it's quite the bind that's been created here. And we're linking this into your very womb space to support you in remembering how worthy you were of care, receiving of nourishment you were before the world even knew what you looked like. You were given life, you were given nourishment to stay alive for months without even knowing how you would physically appear, how you would turn out, what gender you were, what sex you were, any of those qualities of how you might seem to appear were absent. And yet you were still deeply held, perhaps more held than you've ever experienced before in your life. And that womb space for many of us also carried a certain amount of, stress at points. And if we can tease apart that with also the fact that you were kept alive through that all, for you to develop as only you could have, the story of you developing in this womb space to be repeated on the other side over the next several years, again and again in a particular pattern, so that you could learn through the story of you that you were worthy of the expression of life itself through your story, however your story appeared, whether or not you liked the story. You were worthy of life through that all. In the same way that a little seedling blossoms without knowing what's to come or what it's going to look like, because it's not yet known, it hasn't yet happened. The mind couldn't possibly figure it out. And with this, we're running lymphatic drainage through your womb space, through the amniotic fluid. And we're releasing any concerns that the humans in your life may have had around what was going on in there. Any fear that they may have held around the unknown and what was developing amongst it. The womb space, one might say, was the original forest. What is it you were devouring in there to expand? And it came at the risk, because life is not a guarantee. Survival is not a guarantee. And yet somehow death is. We just have no idea when. So somehow in this original imprinting was looped in this fear of dying from the concern that the adults had around you as you were developing, this fear of, you know, what's going to happen to this little one. And this way you learn to protect yourself. You learn the fear of death from a very young age, day 15 in utero. Day 15 in utero, where the primal heart just begins to assemble itself. It looks nothing like your actual heart yet. And as we run lymphatic drainage through the amniotic fluid, that's bathing this being of you that's only a certain amount of cells big. We're running a cellular repair through the primal heart that formed the foundation that your heart now resides within and the energy field that is around it. Restoring these cells back to their fullest expression of health. And the thing is, around the heart space where we hold all of our expressions around love, we also hold all of our stuff around intimacy, around sexual expression. And there's often a fair amount of confusion here. The element of creation that created you, that created the very life force that arose to be the foundation of you, that was carried through the thread of, yes, other humans that created you physically, that carried the thread of life itself. That energy begins to intertwine through and around this heart space at just as young of an age in utero. And we're working with any layers of confusion, again, that were carried on the backs of your parents and their confusions around sex and what that actually meant. And I want to say, if the world is confused about a lot of things, sex is definitively in that mix. Yeah, we have a lot of confusions around creativity, around pleasure, around, is that allowed? Are we supposed to have desires? Or are we a little bit fearful of them? There's actually intertwined within this a fear of creation and a fear of not having the fullest expression of your pleasures, of your desires, come alive amongst it all. And a fear of potentially being shamed for your creative desires, for your sexual desires. We're releasing that through the face in your current adult form, as well as through the very kidneys, which is carrying more of the ancestral generational layers of shame. We're going back 7 generations. We're working with a seed tree through both the face and the kidneys. Here, working with circulation of all the healing resources. Blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains again those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression that help us to heal at all levels, in particular our nervous system and our immune system. And working with the circulation here of the balance of yin, the feminine essence of nourishment, and yang, the masculine essence of protection. Running another round of hydration, helping the cells to take in water and joy, releasing any impurities that no longer need to be here. Followed by D for defrag. Much like a computer defrag, a spring clean that's taking out all the clutter that no longer needs to be here. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization. Coming out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Think of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. As that happens, I begin to see an unraveling of shadow, resistance, pick your name for it, but that which was unknown, to begin to reveal some components of, as Jung would call it, the gold in the shadow. It's like the sun begins to shine. There's awareness or light that begins to enter the system in a new way. And we're going to purposely link that right into the planetary energy of that sun, the fullest expression of your life force. And as we work with this, landing you as the central authority of you. And releasing the fear of, quote unquote, not obeying one's parents. The fear of the punishment that you may have received from not obeying, quote unquote, those that took care of you. This way, offering the possibility of growing up, of cutting the apron strings, amongst that, running lymphatic drainage through the right brain, running the permissions here. You're in your right mind. You're in your right mind. You're in your right mind. And releasing, quote unquote, the fear of insanity, which we all carry in varying different degrees. So whatever layer of that you're touching in on now, releasing the fear of insanity, which comes more so from taking on and adopting other people's ideas and thoughts versus having your own present for yourself. Perhaps that's all insanity has actually ever really been. The confusion of how to undo other people's ideas, thoughts, conditionings, beliefs, attitudes, and you finding your own centering in amongst you. We're going to tap this out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. Giving that a round of breath. Running one more cellular repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health now. Through the thymus gland that sits just above the heart. The thymus works with the immune system, works with acceptance versus rejection, and it stores our early childhood experiences up till roughly the age of 9 or so, where it's thought to be most active on a physical level. Working here with the fear of acceptance itself. In particular, acceptance of you. And the sphere of acceptance of you is also transgenerational. I know of no other fear that grips humanity more than this one. At the heart of hearts of all fears lies this one. We're going back 10 generations down both sides, maternal and paternal alike. As we work with that, we're simultaneously running the permissions, which are just simply this. It's a simple but profound one. Holds a lot of energy. And the response to this question, permissions, in the form of a question, never really comes in words. It comes in the nonverbal expression. And the words simply are, show me who you are. Show me who you are. And as we extend that invitation to 10 generations, they all are welcome to show you who they are, as you also show yourself as you are. And in this way, releasing, there's multiple expressions of this, by the way. There's not just like one done. There's many. How many varies? There's a lot, usually. And in this way, we work with it layer by layer, not all at once. And it's actually more digestible to relieve the system of the burden of having to hide who one is. As we do that, it frees up the edges of the heart to begin to expand, to come alive. It frees up the external lining of the heart, known as the pericardium, which does also have its own meridian. We're going to talk and house. We're going to talk about that in house nine. And it supports the system in opening to the sensual domain of the creative pleasures of life. The sensual domain of the creative pleasures of life. And interestingly enough, we're linking that to the left brain, and we're giving yourself permission to know. Like, it's safe to know. It's safe to have knowledge of that. This knowledge is not forbidden. This knowledge is not forbidden. And as we work with this mysterious realm of creation, whatever that is for you, running one more cellular repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health for your diaphragm, releasing any particular layers of control, at the same time doing an emotional release of rage from both the diaphragm as well as the TMJ and the sacroiliac joints. So the jaw joints and the back of your hip joints. And as we release the rage, some part anger, some part fear. It releases the fear, not necessarily of like left brain knowledge, but the fear of knowingness, of easefulness, the knowingness of easefulness, and being able to digest what's in the way of that, which is to many a very primal fear. And we're tapping this out here, alongside of bringing in a planetary energy for some support along the way, which is that of Mercury, which brings in intellectual support, communication, as well as the capacity to separate out, and alongside of that, separate out misinformation. So it becomes a guide of sorts along this. And in addition to that, we're also bringing in the planetary energy of Venus, for maternal comfort and for expression of beauty alike. And we're tapping here, breathing here. Giving that around your breath. Then we're linking this entire session that we've done to the small intestine, which has three in Western medicine layers to it, or components to it. The first, the duodenum is sometimes how it's also pronounced, followed by the jejunum, followed by the ileum. And then it transitions into the large intestine from there. So that very first section of the small intestine, the duodenum, is where we absorb the most, the bulk of our nutrients. is where the pancreatic enzymes, the gallbladder enzymes, begin to break down the food and to support the nourishment actually being digested. So it's like the breakdown of what we've been received to be able to digest it and receive it as nourishment. That includes all the inherited beliefs, ideas, thoughts, conditions. We actually get to break those down into their constituent components and actually drink in the parts that are nourishing and extrapolate that which is not. This is what we refer to as discernment of awareness, of the intellect being in service. So in this way, linking it through to the solar plexus chakra and the heart chakra alike. And here we're giving you permission amongst digestion of, yes, the intellectually passed down thoughts, ideas, also to do the same for your emotions, the feelings that have been passed down, how you feel towards things, your attitude towards things has been largely dictated by learned responses from your caregivers, from your world around you, to the point where it's disguised how you actually feel about things. So we're literally just digesting that now through the feeling lens and bringing in the intellect to be, or the small intestine intellect, the awareness, to be in service to actually figure out how it is you truly feel about anything versus what it is you've been told to feel about that thing. And we're told a lot of things. Social media, regular media, your community, the news, the shows you watch, the music you consume. It's all full of information telling you to a degree of how you should feel about certain things versus you actually having an opportunity to contemplate how you truly feel about things. And in this way, giving you space for self-reflection. And in turn, this is the process that actually builds up self-acceptance, because it's hard to actually accept yourself if you don't actually even know your own feelings or your own thoughts. But you've just been conditioned, as every human has, to think and feel in certain ways. As we support your system in moving from robotic to alive and awake, as we support your system in becoming more creatively you, we also tap into the solar plexus's capacity to provide empowerment to you and the heart to provide harmony, balance, wisdom of you to you. We're running lymphatic drainage through the entire solar plexus chakra and the entire heart chakra region. And releasing adhesions through the diaphragm muscle that's been dividing these two chakras with a fair amount of control to the point of almost violence with all the rage that had been stored there. We're tapping this out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. Giving that again around your breath. And then we're going back to this theme, which has shown up in various different ways so far. Between your face, how you're facing things, and your worth, and how it's open to receiving support. And it's interestingly enough, going to body chemistry, which supports our immune system, which works with acceptance. And we're working underneath the theme of intolerance on an emotional frequency. And it's the emotion of anxiety. And the response to being intolerant to the anxiety is that the system just gets more anxious. And it gets even more anxious. And it just becomes this like self-propagating anxiety spiral machine. And as we run the body chemistry, we're linking it into a series of active memories to the parts of you that have been fed, I'm going to say, by the drama of being anxious, that have fed off of that and perceive that as like that's the way of being nourished. It's like as long as there's enough drama or suffering, then things are familiar enough and I'll be fed enough. Because that was the family dynamic that you grew up in. As long as there is enough drama in your connections, you would be fed enough and you'd survive. But without that drama being there, without that pain or suffering being there, who knows if you'd actually stay alive. And working with overall the belief system. Pain keeps me alive. Disconnection keeps me alive. Suffering keeps me alive. We're unhooking all of this from the base chakra and then linking it up to the heart chakra with the permissions. I'm ready to face this. I'm ready to face this. And then turning into the storm versus away from it. And in doing so, finding again the central authority of you as actually being bigger than anything you could ever face out there. I'm running the permissions. I set myself up to win now. I set myself up to win now. And in an interesting way, maybe you actually always have, maybe even the experience of setting yourself up to fail or feeling like you failed in facing towards things was actually the necessary journey to arrive here, to find your way through the failures that you have. To digest through the pains that you have, to be able to land in a new perspective. Running one more cellular repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. And it's for where the stomach transitions into the small intestine. And that marks the transition between your conscious mind and your capacity to actually digest and break down your own belief systems. In particular, the ones that you think are yours that are not even anybody else's or from anybody else. But now breaking down that which you think is yours, but was ultimately somehow learned from somewhere. It just happened at a really young age to the point where it feels like it actually is you. Breaking down, shall we say, the constituent parts of the false self. Running lymphatic drainage through this area of the digestive system. Cleaning out any need to get stuck here by overanalyzing. Out of fear of what might come if you let that go. And we're linking that through to your back body, the masculine, which gives a sense of capacity to stand tall, to find your spine amongst everything else that's happening, and our sense to feel internally protected as a result of that, which allows for that digestion to move through just a little bit more easily. In this moment, I'm yet again struck with awe at the wisdom of the body. Its capacity to be a portal, to be a guide through our life story. And in this back body region, as it comes into connection with the digestive system, it's the part just behind the digestive system, to be clear, in that area between where the stomach joins onto the small intestine. It's helping to reconnect and reclaim your own source of power from within yourself. We're running hydration all the way through here to give a sense of feeling deeply supported from within and to allow that to be fluidly held throughout your system. Tapping here, breathing here. And as we tap this out, I begin to see the back body actually light up all the way throughout the spine, coming forward to fluidly hold, to comfort, to protect the entire front body. Continuing to breathe, continuing to receive here. Giving that a round of breath. I know I'm a couple minutes over time today. If you need to run, please do. And if you're able to stay, please do. I've got a short song to play. It's just under 3 minutes. It's Repente de Poder by a bunch of names I'm not going to be able to actually fully pronounce or even see on the screen. It's by a few different artists that don't all show up here. Jew Marconato, Shalim Rimatader, and another one that starts with Y that I can't see here. It's from the album Musicas. I'll put the song link in the chat feature here. I invite you just to rest and to receive here. Potentially deepening your breath. And drinking the music in, potentially touching in on that resource that you found earlier. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today and being here exactly as you are. Thank you for carrying the medicine within each and every one of you. We are all the richer for it. Blessings on the rest of your day, y'all. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. If you need any additional support afterwards, feel free to stick around. Happy to chat with you. And mwah, mwah, mwah. Thank you, everybody. We will see you next week. Okay, bye for now. Okay, recording is...